Welcome to the Tired as a Mother podcast with your hosts, Roxy Digital
and Tiffany Marie.
And I am honored, and she knows this from my reaction when I came to the lobby, to have Director of Operations and Head of Human Resources at MS New York, Patricia Robinson.
Woo. Hello. That's hey, guys.
Applause, friend to the room. Friend to the room.
Thank you for having me here.
Patricia. I know this is not television, but if you could see this woman right here, and everybody does this with her, so she cannot be surprised at my gloating. You are such a beautiful woman.
Thank you.
Inside and out.
I was just going to say that because it was my first time meeting you. And
thank right.
you. Yes.
Stunning.
Absolutely.
The word on your shirt is you to the core epitome. She is a babe. But even before that, senior executive leader, she's a speaker, she's a mentor, she has danced, and she has quite a story on her hands, and I yes. want to throw the mic all the way to you. I'm not going to hog it. We're not going to say anything. This is your floor.
Yeah, so thank you guys for having me, and I'm really excited to be here and to have this forum to share information to those who are listening. You know, in this day and age, it's all about being the best you. And the best you means wherever you are in your career, how do you take that, maximize it in your professional life, but also in your personal life? You know, I'm 48 years old. I love my numbers. I've been married for 24 years. Wow. I have two children, 28 and 21, and I have a 6-year-old grandson. And I've been at my job for about 16 years. So I like long, strong numbers. Mm-hmm. And I'm a complete advocate that you can do what you put your mind to, but it takes a lot of personal discipline. And it takes a lot of personal desire to really want to be great and do great things. And, you know, just being a mother full time and being a wife full time, having such a big career this way, it can stress you out a little bit. But at the same time, you have to look at the opportunity that's there. So if you look at the opportunity that's there and say, I'm in the midst of this, I am this, and how do I maximize this? Then that thing starts going off in your head and you start getting really engaged with yourself and you push yourself to the limit. So, you know, I believe you can do all of this and still look really good. You know, I have all of these titles, but, you know, personal self-care. I go home every night. I unravel as a mother, as a wife. I rest. I, you know, relax. When I'm off, I'm off. But when I'm on all the way. And, you know, I've been very fortunate to be at amazing brands, Hot 97, WBLS, and WLIB for many years. And what keeps me going is the love of the culture, the music, all of the things that come with it, but more importantly, the people and being able to connect into the community. And so one of the best things that I'm proud about is my ability to have shifted my role outside of my role to work in a community over the last few years. Like, I really love that kind of stuff. And I've done a lot of it. I do a lot of it. And I am an advocate for helping young adults and women. And God has even been sending me some men over the last few months on just how to tap into your own best personal self, because you have to create what you want. Like, no one is going to say, hey, Pat, here's this golden road to success. Come and walk it. You know you're great. You have to dig in there and you have to get that stuff out.
So you speak on tapping into your best self. And I know you. I used to work at MS from 2009 to 2014. And I know you for that specific role. Mm-hmm. And seeing you in the office and taking care of what you have to take care of. How did you do this transition of what I'm seeing now from you in the office being the director of operations mm-hmm. and head of human resources to getting out in the community? Because yeah. I would think the first and foremost thing that's important on your agenda and to-do list is to take care of all the administrative yeah. and corporate things that have to do with MS New York.
Yeah.
So how do you find the time to, okay, I just finished all this stuff for these mm-hmm. for these stations, and then be Pat, the speaker, the yeah. brand ambassador, the everything advocate, yeah. outside of that.
So
that.
The good part about it is that when you work in an environment where it holds, it's 24/7, we have over 200 employees and the bars are high. I not only hold my role, but I also work hand in hand with the senior vice president as the direct support. You learn how to, and it goes back to discipline, you learn how to do those things really well. And I started to take into my mind several years ago that my clients and the people who I serve, my community, are the employees of the station. Mm-hmm. So I started to put forth this thinking cap of how do I service them to the best of their ability and still get my work done. And I became a master at really getting those things done. It's never perfect, but it's really on point. But I also hold myself really accountable because I understand that no matter how long that I've been in this position, I'm not entitled to it. So every day I show up to really, really get a job done. And I don't need anyone to look at me and say, oh, she's overperforming. Like, I perform when there's nobody looking. That's when I perform the best because I'm holding myself accountable. And so over time, I started to realize, you know what? You really are strong at what you do and you have a lot of potential. How are you going to get that potential outside of this office? And what are the things that you're passionate about? And those things came via way of the internships and meeting a lot of young people that had a lot of admiration for the work that I do and wanted to know more. And I started to delve into that arena. And that arena just got me closer into the community and it just pulled me into my purpose. And when you're passionate about something, you just keep going. So thank God that I have a family that's like super understanding and they know the things that keep me like really thriving and they support it. And, you know, I make time.
Now, Pat, being where you are right now today in 2018, how hard was it to deal with all of the glass ceilings? And then you have your children and you have your husband. How hard was it to sit there and say or feel defeated at some point in your life? How did you get through that?
Yeah. So I'll tell you a quick story. When I initially got the job back in 2000, you know, I came from another job. I didn't know what kind of job I was getting. I didn't go to school for media broadcasting. I applied for a job. Someone called me, say, hey, we got your resume. We don't have a job. We would like to just let you know we got it. And if anything comes up, 16 years ago, my attitude was a little different. So I was like, well, who does that?
Right.
But okay. Mm-hmm. Got another call about a month later and said, hey, your resume was passed to me from this person. I don't have a job, but I just want to let you know the resume is good. So I'm like, okay, these people are nuts.
Right.
Then I got a call and they said, you know what, we would like you to just come in for an informational interview. And at that point in my career, I'm like, well, why not? Still didn't understand it, didn't do my research. So that's tidbit number one. Whenever you're on a professional endeavor, do your research on your companies, dig deep and do your research. But 16 years ago, I didn't do my research. So I decided to go on this informational interview with a poor attitude, I might add, being honest. And I showed up at this building and I went to the 7th floor and I walked off the elevator and I saw these big logos in my face. Hot 97, at the time, Kiss FM and CD 101.9. And I literally almost fainted. And I had to pull myself together really quick because I didn't realize the opportunity was there. But long story short, I eventually had the interview. A job opened up as an accounting clerk. At the time, 16 years ago, I was 30-something, full-time mom. I had some college credits, but I didn't have a degree. But I got a job as an accounting clerk. That was good enough for me. I was in the building, worked the job for 1 year. I had my performance review. On that performance review, and this is what changed the shift in terms of my life, my manager at the time, the performance review was about 99% amazing. And people would have been satisfied and said, you know what, I'm good with it. Let's go. 99% amazing, but the last two lines on that performance review, which I have a copy of to this day, said that Patricia's an asset. She's a great value to the company. The only limitation is that she doesn't have her degree. And so I could have let that go and said, you know what, but I got experience, blah, blah, blah. And I decided that felt insulting to me because it felt like somebody was putting something on me. So I decided at that point, and 30-something years old with two kids, in school, as a wife, working full-time to go back to school full-time at night.
Wow.
To get the associate's degree. Mm. So I burnt rubber, and it was a lot. But after 2 years, I got the associate's degree, and I came back, and I was so proud of myself at 30-something years old because I felt like I finally could qualify to be in the seat in that building. And I presented, and I said, look, I got it. And I'm good now. So that line doesn't apply to me. And then I looked around my environment and I was looking at what was changing 2 years later. And I'm like, wow, all of these people got their bachelor's degree. So I'm not really there. Decided to go back and do it again. So I took another 2 years full time at night, full time. And I went back and I got the bachelor's. Got it. I was like, okay, now I'm in the game. Don't say anything to me. I'm there. But what was happening is my confidence was building, my education, I started to like it.
Right.
So I went back and got the master's.
Wow, good for you.
And so with that being said is that my confidence was building, my education was building, so that accounting seat didn't look like it matched the level of what was happening to me. So, but there were no positions available for me to push past that. So I began to take all work available to me and build value within my environment so that when budget cuts came and things like that happened, who was most valuable? Who was the person likely to do the most work? And long story short, I was able to build a good story and create an HR position that made sense for New York, but I had to advocate for it because it didn't make sense. It didn't exist. I had to sell it. It was rejected. I had to sell it again. And finally, they gave me the opportunity to call it an HR position, which changed my scope of compensation, scope of exposure, scope of work. And then from there, I just continued to do repeat and grow. So was things created for me there? No. Did I push past? Yeah, but I had to self-discipline, a lot of sacrifice, and make those things happen. Convince people that, look, I'm bringing value because X, Y, and Z.
You mentioned a whole lot of really important quotes and good one-liners that I'm going to walk away with. I'm sure you have more. You said build value within your environment.
Absolutely.
You said you had to advocate for your position. And one of the most important takeaways is you went to this interview with a bad attitude, but you had to shape up. Thinking about that now and thinking about the brand that you work with now and the young millennials that are coming in, do they even have that same attitude? And, you know, you're in the building. So when you see this and you serve as a mentor and a leader and somebody that inspires a lot of people and who you look up to, do you see it and you say to yourself, wow, how times have changed, and then see yourself in that motherly role at work? And I don't mean that as far as age. I mean that as far as like
guidance.
When I was on maternity with my daughter and I came back, I had said to myself, I'm going to change my attitude 1,000% when I came back to come to work. And believe it or not, I'm happier.
Good for you.
I love what I do. I love the people that I work with. And I just want to do things to make it better.
Yep.
And I realized I had a real effed up attitude when I was here. And then when I was on maternity, I said, I have to do something different. What is making me so miserable? Why am I a miserable person? And I don't know what it was. But after I had my daughter, I came back and I said, what was I thinking? And was I really that bad? Because everyone knows that I'm pretty bitchy here.
Right.
And I try not to be. And I don't know why I come off like that. Mm-hmm. But then I realized when I came back, I said,
you did a reset.
Yep, I totally did.
What is that saying? The altitude determines your attitude, determines your altitude.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you said that about the interview you went on and you came with a bad attitude, did you, when you walked in the place and saw the brand and saw everything, the presentation, how did that switch up? Why did it switch up? Because I
realized that I had one shot, and this was not going to be about the attitude that I walked in with, but about what I can do to convince this person that I was about to interview with that I could do this job. And I didn't even know what the job really entailed because it wasn't a job and it was informational. But whatever it was, you were attracted to that resume before that job, before you're thinking of a job, but you liked the resume. So now I have to bring that to life. I brought it to life on paper. I have to bring it to life off paper. So the resume couldn't stand on its own. I needed to shift it and bring it to life through myself. And when I saw the opportunity, I'm like, okay, you got to dump that bad attitude. You should have did your research. Shame on you. You don't know everything. You got one shot. You're going to go in here. You don't know what to expect. There isn't a job. Now, instead of me thinking, well, let them follow up with me, it's me saying, oh my gosh, I got 10 minutes and I need to go in here and nail this.
Right.
And that I did.
With all the building value within your environment and advocating for your position. So this podcast is called Tired as a Mother for a specific reason, because we sometimes hold so much to ourselves. We do so much and, you know, we get tired.
We do.
And we can't juggle everything. But you did this coming in knowing that you knew that you deserved that job. But did you also do it because you were like, I'm a mom? too. I got to support my family. I'm, you know, a woman with two children. Like, did you think of that?
Well, here's also, what, I got to be honest. Back then when I went for the interview, mm-hmm. I just saw the opportunity. And if I could get there, I would go. As a mother, no matter where I, even if it didn't pan out, mm-hmm. it was going to, my serving my kids and being that mom and providing, it would have happened if I didn't wind up here. It would have happened strong somewhere else. But this was the thing I had my scopes on. But what's interesting is that my kids were 16 years younger. Mm-hmm. And as a mother, you guys will experience as your children grow older, you lay this great foundation into them. And then at a certain age, they turn into these strange aliens. And you're like, where did you come from? Where did you come from? And what's happening? And
they're
changing and they're growing. And they have their own personalities and challenges. So as a mother, being with these kind of careers, you still have to stay very in tune with your children, what they're going through, problems, challenges, issues, guiding them, their stuff. There's this thing that I believe in about the house when you live with people. It's not just a bunch of people living together, husband, wife, fiance, child. There's these relationships that are important. There's the spouse to wife relationship that's important.
Right.
If there's siblings, sibling to sibling. There's the cross relationship. Mm-hmm. If there's more than one child to one parent against another parent, is a dichotomy. Like, you have to look at how you're managing each child. To this day, my kids, they know I'm so involved, and people might say to a fault, but I have my kids' passwords to their emails. They trust me, to their bank account. So, like, I'm not going to overshadow it. I let them live. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, why are you wasting money on this?
Right.
Like, I'll randomly ask the question, and, you know, like, because it's guidance. Mm-hmm. But as they get older, you'll be surprised. People think that you let them go at 18, 19, 20 because they are of age. It's probably when they need you the most.
Right.
Because they really are in this core of, they're out here now and they're experiencing the world from a non-protective, I have to go on my own and do this on my own. Mm-hmm. But you still need this guidance. So I'm so involved now to a degree, but respectfully, like, I let them make their own decisions. I don't baby hold their hands, but I am involved. And, you know, I'm a mother. So at night, you got to be home at a certain hour if
Absolutely.
You're living with me. And just mm-hmm. all of the basic things.
Speaking of kids, so usually how we start this podcast is we tell people, you know, how long we've been mothers and our marital status. And so we already know you're married.
Yep.
You have two kids. When you started out as a mom, how did you do it? Did you have the support of your family?
Mm-mm.
Did you put them in daycare?
Mm-mm.
Were they always behind you? They went where you went.
Mm-mm. So I was a single mom. I was pregnant at 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who I got pregnant by went to jail
mm-hmm.
when my daughter had turned one. So I was a devastated single mom
right.
living with my mother. So my support was just my mom.
Right. Okay.
That was it. So I was young, and these are real situations. Within a matter of 2 or 3 months, I had met this really nice man who I thought was completely whack. I love him today. He was great today, but back then he was whack. But anyway, I hope he's not listening. But anyway, he wound up to be this really awesome person, and he had a young daughter, and we started dating, and we dated for 4 years, and we got married, and we're still married to this day. So my husband, Wade Robinson, has been with me since my daughter was one.
Wow.
And then we have a son together. But it wasn't a lot of support, no. And I did have to take, so, you know, with when I had her specifically, you know, my mother was a support, but I wasn't as active as I was until I really got into the media side of it. But so I took her to places, and I spent a lot of time as a young, I was very involved. They were involved in sports and things like that.
Okay.
But it's not easy when they're younger. It's not easy. I gotta be honest. Child care is important.
Yes.
You're feeling your emotions of feeling guilty because you want to do all of these amazing things, but you know you need to be home and do some bonding.
Yeah.
You're missing opportunities. But what I started to do when my kids were younger, because I was always active in my career no matter what, is any opportunity I could, I would try to be a part of the school system. So I've served as the PTA president for my son's high school for 2 years. when he was in high school a few years ago. When he was in junior high school, I was a treasurer. When she was in school, I was a PTA mom. Like, so I did what I could do because I also didn't want the educational, you know, teachers to think these kids are just getting dropped off. Like, I needed them to see a face and understand a tone. Like, you know, I'm a mom and look, I'm of good stature and good mindset. And you may not see me as often, but I can show up to a few things. I can be involved and I'm present.
So you've always showed up. Your MO.
So even to this day, by the grace of God, I even I take a couple of days off with my grandson and I go do class observations at 6 years old because I want them to know, even though his mother, she's 28 and she's still kind of figuring things out. She's a single mom, too. But I also want them to know there's this, she has support.
Right.
And that I've been through this. I am of their age caliber and I understand the logistics of it.
Right.
And I want them to see me and know that he comes from a good stock and good home. And I want to see what's going on, make suggestions.
Right.
I just don't want you to serve it to us any kind of way. I kind of need to know how I like it, too.
Right.
Because I feel like that's the type of mom I am. I'm so involved with my children.
Yeah.
I mean, my mother, I had mentioned before in another episode, I had said, my mother had used to tell us, can you love your child too much? And I feel like I love my kids so much. Like I was telling Roxy the other day, I get sick to my stomach. Right now, I'm sick to my stomach now that I can't see my kids.
How old are your children?
My son is 1.5 and my daughter's 5 months.
And I'm direct opposite. I love Braxton to death, but I don't coddle him and I don't have him too attached to me because I don't want him to be a mama's boy. I want him to be independent and know that I'm there and I'm always there.
Yeah. But
I'm
you
not
don't
like,
do over. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I can't do that because I'm already just a detached person.
Yep.
I'm not cold. I'm just like,
right.
Hey, I'm here. If you need me, this is where I am. And that's how I am.
Yep. But it doesn't mean that your love is not deep.
Right. So we all have different ways of expressing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you say another interesting thing you said was that sometimes, you know, at the age of 18 for kids, that's when they need you the most.
Oh, yeah.
When have you ever needed your kids? Where was a time you needed somebody the most? You needed support from people? Because you're always giving, giving, giving.
I
when do.
Do
you get?
So I need my kids now, you know, I mean, I do. So, you know, especially, you know, at those times when I'm home and I'm unraveling and it's sometimes like I'll go upstairs and I'm like, look, y'all just need to, you know, we have a 3-floor home and it's a lot to manage, you know, in terms of cleaning. I don't have a maid. I ain't make it to that stature yet.
No. I was like, really, Pat?
Yeah. But, but you know, you know, I need them to help me participate. They live there. So I need people to be on duty.
Right.
You know, take care of your space, take care of your laundry, take care of garbage and recyclables and take care of the things that you are responsible for, your paycheck and what you need to pay.
Right.
Like, I don't want to have to us be in crisis mode. I want you to be independent. I want you to be able to handle stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my son, who's younger, is much, 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 much like me. Where he wants to be independent to a full. I like being around him. He's like, you know, okay, Ma. You know, but it's like he doesn't want that. He wants to, right? My daughter is the complete opposite. She's all about that and has a question about everything, but it's okay because I understand the differences and I know how to manage the both of them. So with her, I channel her different. I try to say, hey, do more of this. And I try to push her to do things more independently because I want to start weaning her off and I make her think. It doesn't mean I'm not there. With him, you know, I try to figure out a good space where he can invite me in, where it doesn't feel like I'm overcrowding. So I'm figuring that magic out. But yeah, my kids, you know, I love them. They respect me. They listen. My husband's there. He's very respectful. He's an electrician and they support what I do. They know that what I do is from the heart is pure. And you know, they know I have a passion for helping young adults and I'm very fortunate, in a lot of ways.
What has been the most challenging time of your life?
I probably would say when I found that I was going to become a grandmother, because it was a unexpected time. You know, I had these plans for my daughter to finish college and go, and the plans got disrupted. Life came and disrupted that plan. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't ready to receive that news for multiple reasons. For her, because I just didn't think at that age she was ready, even though I was a young mom, different train of thought. A little bit more mature, different life experiences. And so that devastated me for a while. It took me a long time to get through that, through her pregnancy. Like, I've struggled, and at some point I felt a little embarrassed, because I'm like, will people shame me because I'm in this status so early in life? And I feel like, did I go wrong because she's a young mom, but I was a young mom, but again, life experiences were different. But when that baby was born, oh my gosh, that's my buddy. Aww. So, you know, I realized that I was looking at it wrong, and it's actually probably the best thing, the best blessing, that I'm in this age bracket and this health, and able to see my generations unfold and enjoy it.
Now, are you a very structured person? Because it seems like you kind of are.
When it comes to personal, though, when I get home, I'm like, I'm loose, man.
Okay.
I'm real loose. You know, I'm loose, but I'm never off. And see, that's the thing. So I'm loose and I'm relaxed in my own space, but my temple, it's always like, what's next? So at the end of 2017, I decided to take a list and say, Pat, look at all of the things. Let's write down all of the things that you've done, speaking, mentoring, events, look at it and put it all on paper. And I literally came up with a legal size paper of all of these things.
Right.
All of these things. And then this is honest. And I said, now look at it and equivalate that to, did you earn any money? Like, was there any paid? And it equivalated to $100. And I didn't get mad at myself, because all of it was equivalent, because it was purpose driven. It was because I wanted to be there. It was because I wanted to make a difference.
Right.
And so my journey now is like, I ask God and it's been a prayer. It's just continue to expose me. Continue. You know the work. You know the intent. Give me the platform, give me the resources, and help me to get this work done.
Have you ever thought about writing a book?
I've thought about it, but I need somebody. I've got the thoughts. I need somebody to logistically sit with me and say, here's what, let me help you get it done. Tell me this. I need them to walk me through and not give it to me to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm going to fall apart there. I don't want to do no more work on myself. I want to be the work, but I need them to do the work.
Ever just feel tired of it all?
Like,
just need like, even away from family, away from work, just you.
Often and so I find those times a lot, and it's not like in spans of months, it could be every day. But here's how I get it, because everybody got to go to sleep at night,
right.
So I know the scope of my house when everybody's like kind of down. And as tired as I may be, I use that time to rejuvenate whatever I need to do. I'm a person at night that I like to go to bed feeling happy. So I can't watch anything on TV that's dramatic or anything. So my choice of watching is Seinfeld. I watch Seinfeld every night. Mm-hmm. It makes me very happy in my spirit, and I go to bed. Mm-hmm. But I stay up late and I get my thoughts together. I relax. I do the things that I need to do. If it's a hot bubble bath at 2 a.m., that's what's happening. If I am on the train and my train ride is 45 minutes on the Long Island Railroad, you know, 15 minutes of that, I'm going to put my headphones on, I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to get in my space. So whatever opportunities I can to reel myself back in and take my space, I do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I overcommit myself. I'm running hard on Monday through Friday, and then on the weekends, I'm doing all these events. But I find the time, and I do it. And let me tell you something, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant or vain, but like, when I go out, I ain't going out looking busted. Like, even I don't care what's going on. A lot of work, a lot of things. I still have I show up. You have to. It's a part of the, and it all jives together. But yeah, I get tired. You know, so we have to figure out, because the reality is, it is what it is, right? We have our children, we have our careers, and unless you're getting your career away, like, you got to figure out what's the magic sauce on how do you make that work. Find your time.
Well, we had such a great time talking to you. I can listen to you forever.
Wonderful.
I just want you to tell the listeners out there, especially the young moms, the new moms, the tired moms,
yep,
the media moms, where they could find you so that they can get inspired, and what's going on with you next, because I know there's a bunch of exciting
things. I'm on social media. It's kind of where I live. I had to come into the age of technology. Instagram at HR Radio Lady, Twitter at HR Radio Lady, and on Facebook at Patricia Robinson. So what's going on? I failed to mention, but you know, I work with Colin Kaepernick in a Know Your Rights camp, and you know, we do some amazing work with youth, disenfranchised youth, and we're doing some camps in 2018. Nice. So stay tuned for some follow-ups on that. Mm-hmm. And I'll just continue to make my rounds locally to speak out to people who feel like it would be beneficial to hear something.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Patricia.
Thank you.
We hope to have you back and have you on a panel.
Oh, that's awesome.
But this has been Tired as a Mother with your host, Roxy Digital.
And Tiffany Marie.